Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Southwest Detroit, attended Sacred Heart Seminary, and was ordained a priest in 1972. Since 1984, he's been the pastor of St. Thomas More Parish in Troy, Michigan. He believes that God is not found in people, but between people. And he also believes that you cannot outgive God. His name, Father Ed Belzec, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Prisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Prisula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Father Ed Belzec, who since 1984 has been the pastor of St. Thomas More Parish, Troy, Michigan, on Adams Road. Father, welcome and honor to have you.
Thank you very much, Jack. It's a great honor to be invited to be here with you, and wish you and your family and everyone out there a very Merry Christmas.
Can we start by talking about your family
okay.
and your childhood?
Well, I grew up on the southwest side of Detroit, and I had a mom and a dad, and I have one brother who also is a priest. Lived on Central Avenue, attended St. Stephen's grade school, ended up going to Sacred Heart Seminary High School, Sacred Heart Seminary College, St. John's Provincial Seminary, was ordained a deacon in 1970 and ordained a priest in 1972. Was assigned to the Shrine Parish in 1970, stayed there till 1980, left there to go to Our Lady of Sorrows, where I spent some time till about November of 84, and then since November of 84, I've been at St. Thomas More.
Your mom and your dad, Father, what's the biggest thing your mom taught you, and what's the biggest thing your dad taught you?
Well, my dad taught me to work very hard, and my mom taught me to laugh a lot and to really believe that God will take care of everything. There wasn't any problem in our growing up years that my mom didn't have an answer for. And my mom had a lot of great common sense. I would just say grace-filled common sense. My dad was a workaholic. My dad loved to work. And he grew up, he was the oldest of his siblings, and my mom was the youngest of her siblings. And so opposites attract. They got married, and I believe they were married 57 years.
I believe that your nickname as a youth was Fast Eddie.
Right.
How'd you ever get that name?
Well, I like to play pool. I never wanted to play any sports like football because that hurt. So I ventured into single sports by myself. I loved handball and I loved golf. But in the winter months, I really loved playing pool. And at that time, there was a movie called The Hustler and starred Paul Newman and Jackie Gleason. And my name was Eddie, and the fellas started calling me Fast Eddie, and the name stuck. Nobody calls me that anymore. I think my age has slowed me down to Slow Eddie rather than to Fast Eddie.
Father, how was it you chose to become a priest?
You know, that's a great question, Jack, because in my life, I feel I'm so blessed. I always knew what I wanted to be. I mean, since 5, 6 years old, I loved going to church. Now, that may sound silly today, but in those days, going to church was a tremendous entrance into another way of life. The Mass was in Latin at that time. They used a lot of incense. There was some really great-looking vestments, gold. There were statues. There was just the Latin. There was the music. Everything that was there just really allowed me to, when I walked into that building, to kind of like begin to just think about God and His presence in my life. What I found in those years is that my mom and my dad, more in particular than my mom, he would come to church to get away from the rat race. He was a truck driver, but he was always worried about losing his job. He grew up into depression. And so coming into the church was for my dad an escape from life. And it gave him a lot of comfort and a lot of peace. My mom, on the other hand, came into the church, and she was refreshed by what was going on in the church and by her own personal private prayer. in those days, communal prayers, everything was in Latin. Nobody knew that. I just loved the mystery of the church. And as I grew up, I always wanted to be part of that mystery. I really think that God works in us in wonderful, mysterious ways. And to me, I wanted to be a part of that as much as I could.
Some of your flock would say that your homilies are mysteries. But
I would believe. They've told me that a lot. They always wonder where I'm going. And a lot of times, I hope I know.
I'm not sure God knows.
Yeah, you're right there.
Father, what's the biggest thing you've learned in 40 years as a priest?
Well, I think the biggest thing I've learned in 40 years of being a priest is, number one, to be open to the Holy Spirit. The other thing I've learned is to be yourself. So many times I've seen people try to be somebody other than they aren't in the role of being a priest. And I was very fortunate. I worked with a priest named Father Ed Pruse at the Shrine for 10 years. He was then and is still my very best friend. And the one thing he passed on to me, not so much that he said it, is just the way he lived it. He was himself. And I really began to appreciate that if I were myself, marvelous things could happen, not only to the people around me, because then I allowed them to be themselves. And when you allow somebody to be who God wants them to be, then they discover the gifts that God has inside of them, as I've discovered the gifts over the years God has inside of me. And always to be open to the Holy Spirit. Those would be the two things. And I don't separate them as much as I would say, you know, openness and honesty, honesty and openness. They're a hand in a glove kind of situation. Just be who you are. And when you are who you are, God will call you to great things. That's how I live my life.
We're talking to Father Ed Belzac, and I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Father Ed Belzac, who's been a salesman for God these last 40 years. And a great one, I might add.
Thank you.
Father, tell us about God.
Well, that's a boy, oh boy, if I had the answer to that. I'll tell you, the God that I believe in is the God that's in me and you and in everybody. Tell us about God. That's such a big question. However, I really think that God is in the simpleness of children, and I discover that godlike quality in all the people that I meet. I don't know about God. I just know God is in me. I know God is in you, and God is in every living person. And the great quest of this life is to discover Him in the other person, and in so doing, you discover Him in yourself. And you celebrate that communion with God by celebrating your communion with other people. God is, He's marvelous. I talk to Him all the time. I mean, I converse with Him in prayer. I talk to Him in my car. I talk to Him as I go down the aisle, saying, "All right, Lord, you got to help me out here." I talk to Him when I'm doing a very tragic funeral. I talk with Him when I'm doing a wedding. I try as much as I can from the morning I get up. Yeah, I put my feet on the floor and I just begin by saying, "Thank you, God. I have another day in which to live." And before I go to bed at night, I always get in bed and just say a prayer in thanksgiving that I lived another good day. I think that came again. I always would remember my dad getting up in the morning and crawling out of bed and kneeling by his bedside. And then before he went to bed, he would kneel by his bedside before he crawled into bed. And somewhere in that experience of watching my father, I really began to realize that prayer, at least for me, is something that you do at the beginning of your day and at the end of your day. And in my line of work, in my vocation, I do every moment of my day. Now, I can't say I'm conscious of that all the time, but whenever an appointment, when you came in to see me, I said a prayer. I just said, "Well, Lord, let's see how this works out." And I live my day that way.
I was with someone I really admire recently, Alonzo McDonald.
Okay.
Phenomenal human being. And he told me about Psalm 139.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long psalm, but the start of it goes, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." So that's the start of 139. What do you say to a listener tonight, Father, that says, God's not out there for me right now?
Yeah, I would understand that. I would understand that. Let me say this, that I really believe that faith is a gift from God. And for whatever reason, I've been blessed with that gift. And I know my family had that gift. I mean, as I was growing up, it was always in our home. We had a crucifix on the wall. We had a picture of the Last Supper. We did, you know, things in the 50s and early 60s that made God's presence more known to us. We didn't say grace before meals. That was just not part of our ritual. But for a person who says, wait a minute, God isn't out there for me, I would understand that, because for a lot of people, he's not out there. Because I really don't think they were given a gift, and that was the gift of faith. You've got to really believe. Now, I believe they have other gifts. They probably have gift of hope or wisdom or understanding, or they have the gift of love or the gift of patience or understanding. They may just not be given that gift of faith. But if they could step back and see the gifts that they've been given, they would have to ask themselves, where did all this come from? Where did this originate in me? And maybe by looking at other gifts that they possess, they might be able to see a thread of faith in this gift or that gift or in the people that they're dealing with. And they might be surprised that they really do indeed have the gift of faith. But they haven't, you know, too often times when we self-examine ourselves, we're only looking for one thing and we never take the complete picture into view. I'm a complete picture type of person. I have this table that you sat at, Jack, and it's a beautiful table in my office, and it's got all sorts of markings in it. And if somebody would say, why are all these black marks here? And what about this cream color? I said, from our point of view, God looks at the entire thing. He isn't searching for just the gift of faith or the gift of hope. He accepts us as we are, and he loves us just as we are. And so for me, that to me, if a person comes to see me and says, I don't have that gift of faith, it's not just there for me, I accept that, but I ask them to think a little bit broadly more about their life. And I pray that they discover something, and they probably will.
If somebody goes to the St. Thomas More Parish website, on page 2, they would read, God is not found in people, but between people.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that, Father?
Well, that was a favorite quote of mine. I can't really take... Martin Buber was the person who said that. He was a philosopher. What he did is he made that comment, and when I read that comment many years ago, I just was touched by it, because I thought, that's really true. There is a God in me, and there's a God in you, but the great thing is that there's a God between us right now as we're talking. And that's where I find God. I always find God in between people. There are days when I can stay at home and just be wrapped up in myself. But I don't come alive by myself. I come alive when I'm with people, when I'm thrust into situations, good and bad, happy and sad. That's when I discover the God in me. And it's interesting that when I discover through other people the God in me, I'm able to be an instrument to help them to see the God in themselves. So it's a give and a take between the two of us. Do I believe God's in me? Yes. Do I believe God's in you? Yes. But I really believe the fullness of God is revealed between us.
If someone goes to your parish, they walk in and there's this greeting area.
Right.
And then they make a left, and there's this long, narrow corridor leading to the actual sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Christ footprints illuminating from the ceiling lights onto the floor.
Right.
Fast Eddie, why do you do that?
Well, when we were designing the church, I wanted to have our theme as the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So when you walk into St. Thomas More, you walk into the life portion, and you'll see on the quarry cast walls all the words of Jesus as he walked the earth. I chose significant passages. And then as we get to that dark area, If you notice in the marble on the wall, you'll notice palms, signifying Palm Sunday. And if you look up, you see the ceiling comes down, the walls come closer together, and that narrow passageway narrows, and it's very dark. But on that walls, you see the words of Jesus as he was hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Mary, here's your son. Son, here's your mother. These are the significant things. And I wanted to convey to people a sense of suffering. So oftentimes in our life, we want to avoid suffering. I mean, if I get a headache, I want to take an aspirin. I don't want to suffer. I think most people today want to do the same thing. But I wanted them to understand that our salvation came through the suffering of Jesus Christ. And so when people walk into our church, they see this dark area and the lighted footsteps of Jesus carrying his cross. And I wanted them to understand that suffering is in everybody's life. And guess what? We're all going to die. And so when we die, then we are entering into our church, our sanctuary, which is all the resurrection. Everything is white. Everything has new life in it. There are signs and symbols all over the church to signify the new life that Jesus offers to us. So as you live your life, as you suffer, as you die, you have the promise of new life in Jesus Christ.
I've been to a lot of churches in my life. I don't know that I've ever been to another parish that has a higher percentage of the parishioners sing and sing loudly. Guys that have never sung before in their life, that they're like Pavarotti singing. Why?
Well, they're basically trying to overcome my flat voice, I think. I mean, I love to sing. I sing in the shower. I sing during the day. I sing in my car by myself. I like singing. I don't particularly listen to a whole lot of music, but I kind of make up my own songs as I go along. In church, the acoustics of our building are phenomenal. And I have been known to sing loud and flat. And I think that's the people's way of saying, oh, man, we got to out-sing this guy. And when they do, nobody hears me. And that's a blessing for everyone.
We all still hear you, Father. And I'm Jack Crystal, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760. And we love you, Father. WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Crisula, and we're with Father Ed Balzac on this 2 days before Christmas. Speaking of which, Father, what's the basic message of Christmas?
Well, to me, the basic message of Christmas is that God loved us so much that he wanted to become one like us. So he sent us his son, Jesus. And Jesus lived his life, suffered for us, died for us, rose to a new way of life, and promised us in that event that we're going to share eternal life with him. So to me, it's a celebration of God's unconditional love. He just wants to be with us. It's like, you know, if you're a parent, you want to be with your kids in all the adventures of their life. I have a good friend who is very fortunate. He's with his children in everything. I mean, their baseball games, their basketball games. He just loves, and he, you know, it's not always easy to be with your kids because kids frustrate you. However, I don't know of any parent who doesn't want to be with their children. And our God says, I want to be with you always. So I'm going to send you my son, Jesus, and he will show you how much I love you. And then when he died and rose to a new way of life, that's God's way of saying, you're going to enjoy this new way of life with me. The only problem is we have to die to get there. But Jesus shows us how to live so that we all can get there in our own life.
If there's a listener tonight, Father Ed Balzac, that says, I'm ashamed. You know, my whole life I work so hard. I've fallen away from the church. I was raised, you know, with a faith, but I've lost that. And maybe God's trying to talk to me tonight through you. What can that listener do in the next couple days?
Well, I think there's a lot. There's number one, and if there's any listener out there who is in that kind of situation, Jack, that you described, number one, never give up hope. The God that I believe in is always, you know, there was the hound of heaven. He's looking for us. He's seeking us out. He wants us to know of his love for us. Don't give up on yourself. God hasn't given up on you. I mean, God is always looking for you. He wants you to be happy. And he is offering you a way of life that will help you to become reasonably happy in this way of life. I'm not saying totally happy, that total happiness comes in the kingdom of heaven. But to be reasonably happy in our way of life, I think, is a magnificent goal for all of us. And God, in this person that you describe, never give up on yourself and go to a church, talk to a pastor, talk to someone, pray with someone, ask help. I think it's really a magnificent, you know, and I want you to understand something for that person, that the story is never ended. The story continues. Our God is always looking for us, helping us, wanting to, you know, surprise us, let me put it that way, just to surprise us with his presence and with the confluence of things that are happening. And like many times during the course of the day, I just am so surprised. And I say, well, thank you, God. This is great. You really helped me here. That's what our God wants to do for all of us.
We're talking to Father Ed Belzec. Father, why did God send his only son to die for our sins and give us eternity and have him born in a manger, in a trough, used to feed the cows, the goats, the donkeys, etc.?
You can't get any lower than that, can you?
No.
No. And I think that's the magnificent plan of God, that he, through his plan, Mary gave birth to Jesus in a stable, in a trough, as you put it. There's nothing lower in my mind than that. And yet, in that most humble atmosphere, our Jesus identified himself with the lowliest people, the people who are the poorest, the humblest, the ones who suffer the most, the ones who, being a child, have no one to take care of them. He identified himself with the weakest of our culture, of our people. And in so doing that, he basically said, look at, if God can take, my Father can take care of me, born in this humble circumstance, he can take care of you. I mean, it's to me, I don't know where other place Jesus would be born in other than the most humble circumstances of his time and his life.
One thing that you say over and over and over, and I quote, you cannot, I repeat, you cannot outgive God.
Yeah, I believe that. I grew up with that. My mom and dad believed that. And they showed it to me by, you know, people who came to the door in those years. They would give them a donation. They always gave generously to the church. And in the 50s, my dad was unemployed for 9 months. And they always made a gift to the church. My mother always told me, you cannot outgive God. And in my life, I give. I give all the time. I give to St. Thomas More. I give to everything that the church asks me to give to. I give to charities, and I'm not poor. I mean, I really believe that it comes back in ways that, let me put it this way, it comes back in ways that are, you can't account for the ways it comes back. It comes back in peace of mind. It comes back in health of body. It comes back with no anxiety. I mean, all I am, Jack, is a conduit. I mean, like, people give to me so I can give to other people. The parish is a conduit. People give to the church. We take care of what we need, and we pass on the rest to other people. I'm not here about me. I mean, I'm kind of embarrassed to be on a radio program, but I really am here to say that none of us are here for themselves. We're all here for other people. And the sooner we understand that, the better off we will be. And so in that context, I cannot outgive God. How could I outgive him? He's given me everything.
As a follow-up to that, Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it.
Yeah, it's basically true. It's my, in my own experience, I'm a human being, and I'm a person who is asked to do a lot of things. And I'll be honest, I fight in myself because there's the humanness of me. Oh, why visit this person? Why go here? Why do this? Why do the other thing? And that's always the struggle. And yet, when I die to myself and I go out and I do these things that I'm asked to do, all of a sudden, the person that's changed is me. And, you know, as I've grown older, I think I have now a disease called FOMO, F-O-M-O. And the disease that I have after 40 years of being a priest is the fear of missing out. I have a great fear that all these invitations lead me to discover more of God's graces in me. But when I say no to them, then I cut off that channel. I cut off that conduit. But as I grow older, and maybe that's just part of growing older, I want to do all these things. I'm afraid that I'll miss out on something. So when somebody says, can you go to the hospital? Would you do this? Would you do that? Even though I might, in my mind, I don't know how I have time to do this, but I still end up doing it. I'm the one that's graced. I'm the one who's filled with new life because of those experiences. And I've died to myself, and great new spiritual life has been born in me.
We're talking to Father Ed Belzac, and I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to the pastor of St. Thomas More Parish in Troy, Michigan, Father Ed Belzac. Father, in the 40 years of being this salesman for God, you've baptized easily 2,000 infants. What have these infants taught you?
Well, that's a great question. I'll tell you, the infants, number one, it's hard to hold them because they're always moving around. And number two, they're always full of surprises. And number three, you can't control them because they'll cry they'll cry whenever they want to. And these children are delightful. And what makes it even more delightful is that I give the children back to their parents, and I pray that they be good parents for their children. Infants, they're so precious. In fact, I'm a little bit afraid of them because I'm not used to holding them. But I hold them and I rock them. And every once in a while, if the parents allow me, I pat them on the back, and some might even burp. But the point is that these little children are just life. They're bundles of energy. And that's what our life is all about. That's what we should be all about. We should be all filled with energy. It's too bad we get old, or we become worried, or we allow people to sap the energy out of us. But that's how our God wants us to be, like little children. He always tells us that in the scriptures. Become like little children, and the kingdom of heaven is yours.
In your 40-year ministry, you've also given the last rites to thousands of people, and you've been at the deathbed of a lot of people. Yeah. What have the dying taught you, Father Belzac?
Well, I'll tell you, we use the word today, sacrament of the sick. I've had several experiences that are really, truly noteworthy to me. I remember about 1975, I was in Royal Oak at the Shrine Parish in Royal Oak, and I was called on a Sunday morning to go and anoint a woman. And I went over to this very tiny home, and I sat in the bedroom with her daughter as this elderly woman with a oxygen in her nose was lying on the bed after I said the prayers and anointed her. The daughter and I were sitting there, and all of a sudden the dying woman sat up in bed. She just sat right up, and she said, "Do you see them?" And the daughter says, "Well, she's hallucinating." And then the woman went around the bed, and she said, "Walter, John, Susan." She saw all these people from her past life. And the daughter says, "Oh, Mom, she's just exaggerating." I said, "No, she's not. Something's happening here." And then the elderly woman, and she went forward, threw out her arms and said, "I'm coming." And then fell back into the bed, back into the pillow, and she died. It was almost like her spirit jumped from this life into the next life, and I was a witness to it. And I've seen that happen on more than several occasions. And to me, I have no fear of death. I have no fear that, you know, there isn't something on the other side waiting. It's been proven to me on so many occasions to see people die with a smile on their face, anxious to jump out of this life into the next way of life. Now, nobody wants to die, but, you know, watching all these other people die has assured me that there is something beyond this life, and it's there for all of us.
If there is a choir in heaven, Father Ed Belzak, are you going to apply?
I don't think so. I don't think they'll be doing a rehearsal with me.
Speaking of which, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. What is heaven going to be like?
That is really a great question, and I've got two thoughts on it. Number one, I asked a priest that I respected a great deal, Father Jim Hayes, who was the pastor of Shrine. I said, Jim, tell me what your idea of heaven is. He says, I'll tell you what it is. He says, in heaven, it'll be just a continuation of what I love doing here on earth. So I love playing the piano. I love playing golf. In heaven, I'll be able to do that for eternity. I'll be with my family and my friends. Now, I met another priest, Father Dan Theracotta. Father Dan was raised in India. He is a Catholic priest, and he believes that, he told me that for him, heaven is that when you die, picture in your mind a thimble full of water, that your body is the thimble. It's full of your spirit. And when you die, all that happens is that water, that thimble full of water, is dropped into the ocean, and the ocean is God's love, and you become one with God. Now, these are two very different points of view on heaven. I really believe that it is going to be something that we have no idea about. In reading Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, she's always talked about going to God as a transition, and she always mentions that the next life is a greater way of life. She worked with dying children in Chicago, and she had them draw pictures. A child dying of 4, 5, 6 years old from leukemia or cancer, 90% of all the drawings drawn by these young children were of butterflies. And she found out that in the concentration camps in World War II, dying men and women would also draw butterflies. So she always saw that butterflies are a symbol of transition, a new way of life. And I really believe that's a great way of life. No more suffering, no more worries, no more anxiety, no more pain, just happiness.
We're talking to Father Ed Belzak. Father, we're living in tough, uncertain, fearful times.
Absolutely.
None of our political leaders on either side of the aisle really have the answer. Business leaders, when you talk to them one-on-one, they don't have the answers. Bill Pulte, you know, a mutual, terrific man, great friend, he and Clark Durant for the last year and a half or so have been going around the world saying that the only solution to our problem is prayer. And they have a little prayer. If you would share it, please.
Yeah, these two fellows are just inspirational men, and they, along with other people from other other religions, have written this prayer, and let me read it to all. A prayer for world peace. Dear God, thank you for all creation. In the spirit of Jesus of Nazareth and all teachers of peace who inspire the many faith traditions, help me and all the people of the world learn how to replace hate, war, oppression, and division with love, forgiveness, freedom, and reconciliation. Help me to embody your love in my relationships with my family and friends, strangers, even my enemies. I commit myself to this sacred task throughout my life. So let it be. A beautiful prayer. And let me just add one thing. You mentioned business leaders and politicians. One of the most inspirational people beside Bill Pulte in my life was Aquinas Murphy, who was the chairman of General Motors. And when I went to his office at the GM building many years ago, as chairman, his desk was just clean. But at the head of his desk, he had a small plaque that read, "The man who kneels before God can stand up to anyone." And in my conversations with Murphy, he always would tell me, I said, "Why do you come to church?" He says, "People from all over the world come to ask me the questions, and I go to God for the answers." And I think for all leaders in our society, they need to get back to going to God for the answers.
You really admire Bill Pulte and Karen.
Absolutely.
So do I.
Yeah.
Why?
You know why? Because they're themselves. They're not phonies. They're just terrific people. Just wrote him a thank you note. I said, you know, the pleasure of being in your company is that you're who you are. And when you're with people who are who they are, that's where you discover God, I think. And so all the inspiration, all the times we spent together, all the laughter, and even the sad times, I've had his son's funeral. All these kinds of things provide me with, you know, people could be one way with a priest or another way with a priest. They are just themselves always. And that to me is the greatest gift in the world, to be who you are. Because God finds great delight in who you are. Whether you're any religion, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, he delights in you.
As our time winds down this evening, Father, could you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Sure, I could. Thank you, Jack. Well, for all of you listening, I just ask the Lord God to bless you. Lord, help us in this few days before Christmas. Bless our families and all our friends. Your Son Jesus brought us peace. May we be instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, let us share forgiveness. And where there is any kind of injustice, may we bring reconciliation. Bless all the men and women we know and love, and may this celebration of the birth of Jesus be the beginning of a new way of life for everyone we know and love. May everyone have a Merry Christmas, and may God bless all of you in the new year.
And Heavenly Father, keep looking down at your great service, Father Ed Belzak, and let him keep doing the great job that he's been doing.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spoiler.